Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody, and happy, what is it, Jeffrey? Help me here. Wednesday. Yeah.
Third day of the week.
Yeah. I'm still reeling. I'm reeling in part because, so, you know, it was a tough sports weekend for me. It was tough for me. And because of that, I really haven't been reading or watching anything, right? I've sworn it off.
Yeah, there's nothing like big game loss where you just detach yourself from the internet, from the
right.
Widespread
and so
world.
I've just been,
God forbid you get on the internet and you happen to see a play.
You got to be present, you know, in your real life.
Yeah, sure.
Life.
That's totally
and
it.
So that's what I decided to be. I decided to just be present in my own life. But then I said, you know what? Sabres are playing last night.
That'll lift your spirits.
They're on ESPN Plus. There's no tension with the Sabres because when they lose, I'm happy because I'm in the draft pick thing now. The third worst.
How many decades are we on draft picks?
The third worst team in the league, and they're playing the Bruins, and we got Sam Hardiman's coming on today. He's a Bruins fan, and I'll just watch the first period, and we'll see how it goes. Whatever, and this will put your toe back in the water with something low stakes. And my God, the Sabres were great last night. Two players had hat tricks. They trounced the Bruins 7-2.
Take that for data.
How about that? This is good, right? Except after they score their 7th goal, listen to this. Listen to this Bruin. Listen
Best
to
player
Bruins,
gets
Bruins.
Hurt.
Listen, no, listen to the Bruins broadcast. Do we have this? They're right here. Listen.
Do we have it?
Here we go.
Well, hang on.
We almost have it, ladies and gentlemen.
We have it.
The glove. Goal number 7. The touchdown that Buffalo needed in Kansas City.
I needed that from them? I needed that from the Bruins announcers?
Okay, so this is not the Sabres.
No, it's the Bruins broadcast.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what would you expect? These are Pats fans.
I caught a stray, ladies
and
gentlemen.
These are Pats fans.
I caught a stray.
Pats fans are already declaring the Bills dynasty over.
I don't know. I wouldn't know that because I haven't been watching or
no one closes
anything.
The Bills window faster
evidently,
than Patriots
by
fans.
The way, evidently, there's two things out there. Again, I don't know because I haven't been watching. There's a whole stupid Bills fans are going to boycott the Super Bowl. Come on, man.
That's beyond the Bills. No. That's beyond Bills.
Okay. Who's
that's like
is that?
There's just like a It's the same people that announced they're leaving social media.
That's just stupid. Okay,
correct.
So that one.
And although then, in fairness, I should clarify. My wife said she's not watching.
Okay, that's fine. But that's different than anyway. Then there's the fire Sean McDermott thing, and I haven't been delving into that yet either. And as you point out, there are things in that Kansas City game. Their insistence on continuing trying to jam it down.
I never know who to blame though in those.
Right. Here's the truth.
It could easily just been Josh going, I'm going to do this.
They've literally won more games than anyone but Kansas City in the past however many years. Like, they're not firing their head coach. And plus, all you have to do is look across at the same owner owns the Sabres. They are the worst franchise. They are a toxic fire franchise. An absolute dumpster of a franchise. Same owner. And he's looking like, and he's never hired anyone good across all the Sabres hires and all his previous Bills hires until he finally beat McDermott. He's going to say, I'll trash that and go for door number three. Not a freaking prayer, nor should he. It's stupid. So anyway, that's not what I meant to get into today on the radio show.
Well, I actually wanted to present this point. Have the Ravens ever considered firing John Harbaugh?
I don't know. Have they?
Not really.
No, but there was some talk. Honestly, I think it's for people who don't want to put pressure on Lamar after they lost.
Put it on Harbaugh.
They looked. Wow, starting to. I mean, I heard that a little bit on the show The Proceeds Ours, you know, and on Sportsmanlike. I've heard a little bit of that talking about. Well, you got to start looking at John Harbaugh here because you don't want to look at Lamar, and so you have to look at Harbaugh.
Right.
Harbaugh has a Super Bowl, though. Sean McDermott doesn't.
Right.
Like,
but
there
that's
is
also
a difference.
But I guess my point would be.
Your point would be. If recent playoff failures with an elite quarterback are a reason to fire someone, why the hell aren't you firing John Harbaugh, who has not had the success with Lamar that Sean McDermott has had with Josh?
And furthermore, his Super Bowl came literally 13 years ago.
Right.
And
it is interesting. No one talks about it, whereas people talk about it with Sean McDermott all the time. Sean McDermott has had more recent success in the playoffs than John Harbaugh. Weirdly enough, I think in some ways it demonstrates that there are those people who actually think Josh is better than Lamar. Like, in that context, they're kind of implicitly acknowledging that Josh is better than Lamar.
Right, because the only thing holding Josh back is a coach.
Right.
And that's, to your point, it's also kind of why we don't want to look at Lamar. So let's talk about Harbaugh.
It's implicitly acknowledging that Josh is the better quarterback and should be winning Super Bowls. And anyway, that's it was irritating to me, and so, and then it's just been a bad day. I prepare assiduously for this show.
Of course.
Careful notes, everything else.
The yellow pad.
Instead, when I'm walking out the door, I grab a...
Did you forget your yellow pad?
Yes, I have no notes.
Oh,
I grab
wow.
a backpack
oh, boy.
With sweaty clothes and a water bottle in it.
You got your laptop at least?
So I had nothing.
Did you grab the wrong backpack, or did you just not have your...
I grabbed something. I was distracted. I said, I always leave the door with something. And so let's grab... And so I grabbed a backpack instead of my yellow legal pad.
Well, we appreciate you going raw, dog.
So this is going to be an adventure. Happily, we do have a...
You got a notepad up top?
Lineup to carry me. We have a lineup to carry me, and a very impressive lineup, the Wednesday lineup. We got John Martin in the next segment. Then we've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock to talk to us about the Grizzlies and more. And then we've got Sam Hardiman. Latest from Sam Hardiman. I've actually been wondering, with all of our civic turmoil, school board, police investigations, everything else, all the stuff that's been happening. You know, we haven't paid a lot of attention recently to Wanda Halbert.
Yeah, she's back.
And I actually was wondering to myself...
Is she still in the job?
No, just generally speaking, how's it going over there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was originally sparked by just disastrous experience with the clerk's office, which you were deeply involved in when you were trying to get married, right?
100%. I mean, she made Aaliyah cry. Sorry.
What were the circumstances again?
So, it was during the pandemic, and... We called because obviously we knew getting married in 2020 was going to come with challenges, but let me rephrase it. Aaliyah called and made sure that the downtown courthouse.
And then it wasn't open. That it was going to be open.
And they told her it would be open.
And then it wasn't open.
Correct. And so we knock on the door and the security guard was like, you can't come in. And then Aaliyah just burst into tears.
And then we had all the car registration stuff. There was huge delays.
Apparently, I got
car registration stuff and all kinds of stuff. Well, so anyway, so we're going to get to that part of the But anyway, so it was all this stuff. And then I was actually wondering, I don't hear much about dysfunction at the clerk's office recently. In fact, I'm like, I'm wondering if you go, if you pop over to the clerk's office, like the one office closed, right?
Correct.
The one office closed, and there was controversy over that. But anyway,
the pop-up closet.
If you go there, is it running smoothly? Like, we're evidently trying to recall her, but then Claire went yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Where'd she go?
2 days ago, actually. I don't know. And the line was endless. Impossible.
Yeah.
Not even. You wouldn't even contemplate standing in that line. And then yesterday, Sam had the story that the city, the clerk's office was supposed to be collecting $60 for car registrations.
Rather than 30.
And they just forgot.
No. She's the county clerk, not the city clerk.
Right. That was
a direct quote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I see. That was the direct quote.
Uh-huh.
So she didn't collect the $60. She collected $30. Never made the change. Anyway, Sam had that story.
I do want to give a shout out. So during our Christmas break, you know, when we had the bowl games, I had my registration was up, and the fine people at Mullen Station, like, I was in and out in like
really
35 minutes. They're understaffed, like, but the fact that like everyone there was trying to be helpful and was. Like, you know what you could just tell people are busting their ass?
People are nice and busting their ass.
Correct.
And doing their damnedest.
And that's exactly what they were doing.
Well, that's great to hear.
So shout
out to
them.
That's good to hear. It was quite a lively news day yesterday because we had Sam's story. The headline, City Auto Fee Hike Not Collected for 7 Months Leaves $7 Million Pothole. And then Laura Testino had a story. She's a terrific education reporter. An exclusive MSCS board member, Keith Williams, subject of Title IX harassment investigation. So that's what the school board needed, was more controversy.
Mm-hmm.
He almost, as they say, can't make this up.
He's also the president of the teachers union, correct?
It's kind of crazy. School board member also serves as executive director of a local teacher union. He originally said he was going to, according to the story anyway, resign the union post. He has not. Anyway, he's been accused of harassment. How's this for a school board member? Banned from visiting schools on union business from the Memphis Shelby County Education Association, according to a notification letter from the school district's general counsel's office. He can go to the district central office with advance approval. So that's great.
He needs a note?
He needs a note on top of everything else. Anyway, Sam's going to join us as well. We'll talk to Sam about all of that.
Sabres and Bruins.
So we got a very busy day with John Martin, with Chris Harrington, and with Sam Hardiman. I thought, we don't normally do this in the open, but I wanted to start with a lively game of Believe It or Not. You're worried about Ja.
No, I actually do not believe this. So DeMichael was co-hosting with me yesterday, and maybe this is a reflection of me, but normally I feel like when Ja deletes social media, or I think specifically he just deleted X, the Everything app, everything's happening on X, normally like that's like, oh, what's going on? It just kind of, I don't know, it passed. Like Mark texted me, hey, he deleted Twitter, and all I kept thinking about was, in terms of like handling his business this year, I think he's been a professional. So I just feel like he's just going to, like, this is just something probably that he's doing. I don't believe that it's like, it's going to be the end, whatnot. He's going to get back on. So I'm kind of at the point where it's like, it doesn't even faze me.
You're not worried about his happiness?
No.
Because there's an argument that he, well, I'll be honest. Like,
he didn't delete Instagram.
That he's not getting as much S on Instagram, right? I mean that
my guess was he doesn't make as much money on Instagram.
It is interesting how it works that I don't know if I talked about this or not. I recently started to get into a little bit of a political spat on
online.
I think I did mention it. It was right before I went to church 2 weeks ago.
A lot of irony there.
And
I don't think you mentioned this because this. Go ahead.
Well, what happened was it was when Trump was about to he hadn't yet to pause the TikTok ban.
Okay.
Yep. Right? And I put something in there about, boy, Brent Taylor is going to be just enraged about this because here's a guy who's refusing to enforce the law, and this is going to have Brent Taylor
right.
in it. Because obviously Brent Taylor's whole deal with Steve Mulroy is that Steve Mulroy won't enforce the law. I was
right.
being snarky, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was being snarky. And Chase Carlisle tweeted at me. He said,
"Go else."
There is a he's doing it because there's a specific provision in the law that allows him to do it. Basically, he said, I don't care about X. I don't care what, whatever. But he was implicitly defending Brent Taylor. And why the hell I did this, I don't really care. And I don't really, I don't know why I did it. I then immediately responded, yeah, that's fine. But that loophole in the law that allows Trump to pause the TikTok ban says it's only if a deal is in place.
Right.
And so, no, he is flouting the law. He just is. He is mm-hmm. flouting the law in, he is not, whatever. That really wasn't the point.
Right.
The point was I was stupid for getting in a TikTok argument.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday morning about things that like.
An app you don't use.
And you know what happens? You can literally feel your blood pressure rising.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel, and you just want to win the argument.
Oh, yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, I respect some things that Brent Taylor's done. I like both Carlisles and think they've done good work for the city. Like, I'm not like trying to get in fights with people here, and I did. And I'm like, what am I doing?
You know
what? So then the problem is if you then delete the tweet, people think you've conceded. And then you're like, oh, no, they're going to think. And this whole thing is just stupid. You're getting in fights with air. It's the dumbest thing ever. So I didn't delete social media. But I did delete the tweet, and I went to church,
mm-hmm.
and literally, that's when our minister, David Powers, from Idlewild, he gave an incredibly pointed sermon
mm-hmm.
about what Jesus calls on us to do.
Which is not fire off tweets?
And I don't think firing off tweets had anything to do with it. It was about uplifting the poor.
Uh-huh.
It was about helping the prisoner.
Yep.
It was about helping the downtrodden.
Right.
And basically, that was it, period. Like, it was I don't have it in front
but
of me.
But in fairness, Jesus didn't have the opportunity to fire off takes on Twitter.
It is true. There was no, he was, yeah, so.
I'd also like to take a second.
My point is,
I'd like to take a second, though.
Uh-huh.
That was Lamar game day, wasn't it? Ravens game.
It might have been. Bro,
yeah.
I could have just been.
You're on
I could
edge.
Have been on edge.
You're on edge.
Could have been on edge. Anyway.
And you knew, like, you knew there's a big playoff game that I'm not going to watch.
So I sympathize with John, but to the larger point, I, you know what? I want it. Here's the truth. Despite that drop, that cut, that thing that you drop every once in a while, I want everybody to be happy. And
you disagree.
And I want Ja to be in full flower and happy. And I can see right now why Ja would not be that happy. I mean, listen, he's got all the money in the world. He's incredibly gifted. There is really no reason that he should be unhappy anymore, you know, period, relative to almost anyone in this country, right? But stats are down. All-star name, a game about to be named, and he's not even in the discussion.
DeMichael had this stat yesterday. I didn't realize this until he told me. It's the first time he's gone four consecutive games under 20 points since basically his first year, like April of his first year.
And this became a big discussion yesterday on social on this radio station, on your radio station, whatever, and everywhere is that, well, is this offense, you know, geared towards Ja being his best self? And so I can see why Ja would be not.
They did
thrilled
also just
right
get beat
now.
By 39 at Madison
and they
Square
just
Garden.
Get crushed, and he played very badly.
In fairness, though, like that was the other thing.
But even what was the game where he you know, it feels like there was the one game when he wasn't going to play, and he said, fine, I'll play, you know, and I guess I'll play every, like, all that stuff. You do worry about his mental state.
I think that was a TV game.
You worry about his mentals, as they say, a little bit. Or you could just dismiss it as Ja being Ja.
Yeah,
you are not worried about
Ja. That's where I am.
Okay.
I've fallen for this trap too many times. I will say this, though. What I do take into consideration is the frustration from, I mean, he's not performing he's not performing at a level, and whether or not that's because he has a dislocated hip, whether or not that's because, was it ankle or knee?
Which day?
The two big injuries. Like, the dislocated hip, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yes, and yeah, he's not choosing to get injured.
Right,
you know?
So whether or not his play is down because of injury or whether or not it's because of the offense, he's clearly frustrated.
You putting aside the money.
All right.
Let's put it this way. You would happily rent Jimmy Butler for the rest of the year. You're for it.
I believe that if that's the case.
And if it cost you...
This year.
Kennard, Clark.
If it was Bobby Marks' deal that he presented yesterday,
you would be for it.
If it's a 1 year rental,
it's just incredible. This S is not going away.
He's running out of options.
I was looking at The Athletic this morning, and Zach Harper has a piece about the trade deadline. What's the one trade you'd like to see happen? You're just reading along innocently enough, and he says, I want to see Memphis just say bleep it and go for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy, Ja Morant, JJJ, Desmond Bane, and a whole lot of grit still left to grind in Memphis. Butler might not want to go there, but Memphis could pull it off and make everybody a believer. It is just not going away.
He is running out of options. DeMichael and I talked about this yesterday. If you would have asked both of us last week, is this happening? Both of us, and he is way more informed than I am, both of us would have said no. But he's like, something in the last 48 hours is different.
Well, and as I pointed out yesterday, at some point, you cannot want to go somewhere. But if the option is staying in Miami.
Correct.
Again, his original deal was, I just want to go to Phoenix, right? And then he had a longer list. And then he had a longer list. And then the list was everybody but Memphis. And it was only everybody but Memphis because the money wasn't work. It was nothing personal against Memphis. It was because the money wasn't. So if they get to a point. And again, like Chris is this point Chris makes all the time. The money is the thing. It's the first thing. It's the main thing. It's the thing you have to figure out going forward. But, and then here's the other complication. It was interesting to me. So yesterday we had the news that De'Aaron Fox wants to be traded, right? And where does he want to go?
He's open to exploring.
Yeah. Where does he want to go? San Antonio.
Correct.
You do wonder, on top of everything else, how if there is a window this year, and that's arguable because Oklahoma City is a death machine. So I don't know that there is
regular
a window. Yes. I don't know there is much of a window this year. But you can argue that whatever window there is, if all of a sudden you got Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, and friends in San Antonio, that window could close for a decade.
100%.
Maybe the window is never going to be more open, may not be open, but maybe it's never going to be more open than it is right now.
I'm with you. DeMichael even talked me into, I'm close to saying if they can make the deal, go ahead and do it, even if he opts into next year. Because if Jaren gets...
They would have to figure out the money to know that would work for them next
so
year.
So this... Because everyone that's going out, I think, other than Clark, is done anyway.
I haven't done the math.
So DeMichael had done it. If Jaren gets all NBA, and it's possible he could get third team all NBA, then the Grizzlies could offer the extension that he would probably accept.
Right.
That would not kick in, though, until the following year. He would still play the final year on the current deal. And so they could finagle it. My ideal situation, if they get Butler, is have some type of agreement that he's going to, hey, we thank you for your service. We wish you the best in free agency.
There's no way he would do that unless he had another deal lined up. Because why would you possibly walk away from $50 million?
Man, I'm with you. But, I mean, we've seen, like, Draymond technically did it.
All right. The University of Memphis, in terms of realignment, is done with the pack.
I'm going to say I don't believe that because I don't know where the pack actually stands. So, to the best of my knowledge, what they're still doing is they've gotten their people and they're exploring media options. And part of those media options are kind of, well, what if we add this team and we get X amount of money? What if we add that team, we get X amount of money? I still think it's a negotiation. And Memphis, I'm not closing the door, But that's why I can't say I don't believe it, because oftentimes what happens with conference realignment is nothing, 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 and then boom, something happens.
Yeah, I think two things are of note here. One is John Canzano had a piece yesterday about the ADs from the PAC getting together and whatever, the mood and this and that. But they also have discussed further expansion, including that they believe that 9 is the ideal number, which could include 2 expansion candidates. And then he says UNLV, Nevada together, Tulane in Memphis, et cetera. He's just throwing, right. He's just throwing that out.
Those are options that
there's no report.
So there's,
right? But then what was interesting to me was, if you go back to the Q&A that I did with Ed Scott, mm-hmm. and again, if people, I dropped so much stuff yesterday because we had the story on the Liberty Bowl, but then we had the column that I did on Ed Scott and the Q&A that I did with Ed Scott. And I really would urge you that if you haven't read the Q&A, you get a sense of who Ed is and the potential that he sees in the program. Don't let that go lost in your sports reading, because I thought he was terrific. But what was sort of interesting, when I asked him about, and this got lost in the discussion yesterday because we had so much else to talk about, but when I asked him about if he had made the right decision, in addition to saying, you know, yes, based on the information I had at the time, blah, 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 he went out of his way to talk about the long conversations that he has had with the commissioner, that he had never talked with the commissioner during the realignment stuff. Basically said that subsequent to all of that happening, when it unfolded so publicly, that he has had constructive conversations with her. And looking at it again, particularly in light of this Canzano thing, I don't at all think it's dead. I don't think it's like a live wire.
Saying like a deal's imminent, but I still think it's a negotiation. I go back to what he said when he held the press conference, when everybody was so up in arms and he held the press conference. I mean, basically what he said was like, listen, the deal wasn't good. If there's a different deal, we'll talk about it.
I think that's right. He's always said that. We'll always talk about another
deal. This deal was not a good deal.
Tennessee basketball fans should be concerned. Lose to Kentucky last night. Man, they jacked up a million three-pointers. Like, what was the point of that? They just jacked up a million three-pointers. Obviously, they're not a great shooting team.
So I watched every minute of this game. You can guess why. I thought defensively for much of the second half, they were bad. But they got the stops in the last 5 minutes that they needed. And it simply came down to shooting. And in particular, Zakai Ziegler was god awful.
1 of 10 from three or something like
but
that?
But I don't know how much of that is to say
too many threes to begin with.
Correct.
And then he missed them.
I mean, they were taking the shots Kentucky wanted them to
yes,
take.
They were. Oh, they were open yeah. shots. But this is one thing we used
right.
to say when Josh
they're
Pastner
open for a
was
reason.
The coach. Right. This was the well, mm-hmm. they got blown up. I remember it was an Oklahoma State loss that Memphis had. And it's like, well, we got open shots. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You got open shots for a reason.
The ones they wanted you to take. I didn't understand why Chaz wasn't taking more of the shots. But it really last night came down to they just couldn't make anything. And it was a lot like the Florida game. I'm not worried from the performance last night. I think what you have to be worried about is like, what's up with Ziegler? And the
hyperextension. He was rushing off, running off. But
I mean, he came back. He played.
Came back.
But he was clearly not
affected.
Himself.
Yeah. Okay. You've seen Coyotes in Memphis. And I asked this because somehow I missed. How did I miss this video? When was this? Did you see this video?
No,
going
so I missed
around?
It too.
So it wasn't in Memphis.
So I've not seen Coyotes in Memphis. I saw Coyotes in California.
There was a video of, and I just happened to see this morning, but I'm late to it. Maybe because I haven't been on social media. Of a Aldi's in mm-hmm. Chicago was in the refrigerated food section.
Okay.
And there's these two officers of some type. I don't think they were they animal control? I don't know what. They were trying to get the coyote out of the freezer.
They're trying to negotiate with him.
And literally, the one dude, I give him all the credit in the world. He's reaching in amongst the banquet frozen, whatever it is.
I've sold those. Frozen meals, Jeff.
Frozen. and he is grabbing the coyote by the tail and backs up. He's pulling the coyote out of the refrigerated food section. And the coyote's there now in the main, and then he lets go of the tail. The coyote is starting to snap at him a little bit. I wouldn't grab a coyote by the tail, I'll be honest. And the coyote, of course, leaps right back into the refrigerated section.
I was going to go back to
And so I don't know what actually happened. But basically, my understanding is that coyotes are everywhere. But I don't think I've ever seen one. I've heard lots of reports of coyotes in Memphis.
I've not seen one locally. They were pretty...
I imagine in California, they're like...
Well, we lived kind of everywhere. We kind of lived in the hills, and so, like, one of our houses backed up, like, to a hill.
What wildlife have you seen in Memphis? Anything?
I mean, deer?
Fox? Have you ever seen a fox?
I've seen foxes.
You've seen deer... Everywhere. Like, in your neighborhood? Or, like, I've seen David Shelby Farms, there are deer and stuff.
I mean,
walking along the Green Line, or whatever else...
At the house I grew up in, I mean, deer would come through in the night, and it would just absolutely drive Rebel insane. Like, he would just gnaw at the windowsill. That's probably it, right?
Yeah. I've never
deer, seen... raccoons?
I mean, raccoons and possums and all that stuff people see all the time.
Carly got a possum one time.
But I've never seen a coyote, but there is a...
Gophers?
A banquet meals? What did you sell?
Banquet's part of ConAgra's food line.
So
that was like the frozen.
It's like pot pies and...
So, they're TV dinners.
TV dinners.
They have like an entire line.
The little TV dinners in the tray.
Yeah.
Do they still exist? The ones where you used to get when you were a kid you get the turkey cuisine. And you get the little triangle of mashed potatoes and the little apple pie. Mm-hmm.
Looney Tunes, whatever.
I call them
like... Yeah, well, I mean,
does anyone eat them anymore?
They still sell them. I don't know, like... I mean, I don't know. I can say this. Josephine's not quite there yet.
No, she wouldn't be
there. She had some delicious chicken pad Thai last night.
All right, we got a busy show today, and it's a good thing because I forgot my notes. We've got John Martin in the next segment. Then we've got Chris Harrington, and then we've got Sam Hardiman after that. Before I will tell you the semi-annual sale at O'Call. This is the time, ladies and gentlemen. Like when it begins... It's great. It's great. Love the semi-annual sale. I mean, it is a cause for celebration because you got the same beautiful clothes, the same incredibly helpful people. Me and my son Peter talking. This is so nice over there. It's unbelievable. Not just nice, but knowledgeable. Like, but you got incredible savings. And the savings only get better as the semi-annual sale progresses. And so fall and winter merchandise up to 50 to 70% off. At O'Call, get there this week. We're going to take a break, talk to John Martin on the other side. It is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Howie does this every year. It's the best thing going for Valentine's Day. Get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with any purchase of $99 or more. Now, listen, you go over there today, any of the five Robert Irwin Jewelers locations, and you buy something beautiful, you're not going to walk out with the roses today. You get a voucher, and so you can swing back, get the roses and the chocolate right on the eve of Valentine's Day, and you got your beautiful, stunning jewelry as well. It is the best Valentine's Day deal going. It is at Robert Irwin, and they do it seemingly every single year. It's genius. Why would you not? So you just got to purchase something for $99 or more, and all kinds of options there. They've got a Love You to the Moon and Back pendant, beautiful diamond necklace. It's just $129. How about that? Perfect way to say I love you forever. They got the Love's Crossing diamond necklace. Prices start at just $199. You got the diamond essentials. That's diamond solitaire earrings, etc. Just got those for Claire. Prices starting at just $599, or of course, engagement ring. Do that. Go big. Engagement ring prices starting at just $29.99. But in all that, plus your box of chocolates, your dozen fresh roses, free. Of course, they got great financing options, 12 months interest free, or take up to 60 months to pay. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com. Jeffrey, are we now joined by John Martin? John Martin, Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. And John, I try not to talk about what we talk about off the air, because boy, do we talk about a lot off the air.
I knew you were going to do this. I knew it. I told myself he's going to private conversation.
What do you think about the Trump pause? No, that's not what I was going to ask you about. It's not what I was going to ask
you about. You know what that's about.
Talk to me, if you will, about Katrina. I know you've spent a lot of I know you've spent a lot of time studying Katrina recently as well. Cheer you up, given what's happening now in the country. I'm just kidding. But no, last night you called me and you were watching a Ja highlight video from his rookie year, and you said it made you sad. Why? He's great.
I've shared this thought with his representation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
his representation, for the record, vehemently disagrees with my opinion.
Oh, really? Okay.
And
what's the thought? Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. My opinion is that he doesn't play with the same joy that he once played with when he came into this league. Even I would say 2-3 years in, he was still, it looked like to me, having a lot of fun. Obviously we know he's not dunking anymore. He just ask him, he'll tell you, I'm not dunking anymore. His scoring's down, his shooting numbers are down, his attempts are down. And just generally speaking, it feels like, Ja kind of plays with, it's almost a little begrudging. And
he looks aggrieved. How about he's always looking for fouls? He's always throwing his arms in the
that's
air.
Exactly right.
He looks
that's
exasperated exactly right. A lot of the time, right?
He does. And I think, that's a combination of a lot of things, right? That's a combination of, You weren't a household name when you came. I mean, you were in a way, but you weren't the star. You weren't an all-star. You weren't, max contract guy yet. You weren't saddled with all the expectations of winning immediately the way he is now, the way he's judged now. So I think that definitely allows you to play with a little bit more freedom and care. I don't mean carelessness in a bad way, but, carefree, right? So I think that's one of the things that goes into it. I think his personal stuff off the court, goes into it, how he feels about all of that. and also the injuries, you know, that he's had to deal with. So I just think it's all kind of combined to make, like, a less joyful Ja. And, you know, he deactivated his Twitter account yesterday because he was getting a little heat based on that performance in Madison Square Garden. And so, yeah, man, I just kind of feel I kind of feel like he's not as happy as he used to be, and that makes me sad. Yes, it does.
But the representation completely disagrees.
Well, they disagree. Like I didn't really talk to him about the emotion part of it. Like, you know, that was more of a
playing part, right?
Yeah. But I said, you know, I did say, like, him not dunking changes. Like, the opinion that I shared with them is that him not dunking and sort of being consciously, you know, averse to that changes the spirit of Ja Morant. They disagree with that. I disagree with their disagreement.
Because, whoa! You know, Throw it down, baby. Okay. Uh-huh. Let me ask you this, though. So
Look at his numbers.
Well, the numbers could be for any reason. The number could be, you know, could be the offense that he's a part of now that doesn't accentuate him. Doesn't, you know, it's not just put the ball in Ja's hand and have Steven Adams set a screen and let's go, right? That's not what it is anymore. So it could be that. I'll say a couple things, just observations off the top of my head as you make these points. One is, of course, it's true of anyone in life that when you first burst on the scene and there's no expectations and there's incredible accomplishment, that will be the sweetest moment, right? Until maybe you win a title or whatever it is. Like, the moment you burst on a scene and first arrive is the easiest time. That's true for individuals, and it's also true for a franchise, right? Are the Commanders going to be the happy story? Hell, look at the Detroit Lions, you know? Like, it gets increasingly difficult as players and as franchises to build on that, here I am, success. And then secondly, it's true, life just will beat you down. With expectations comes, you know, all of this, the money that comes from Nike, and then, hell, the lawsuit that he's involved in, right? There he is. He invites a high school kid to play basketball at his house, and all of a sudden he's being sued, dragged out in public for all of this, having to reenact checking the ball in a court. Like, the whole thing's ridiculous. And then the stuff, the mistakes he made, even if you acknowledge mistakes, that's humiliating, right? To have, and I bet there's a part of him who thinks still, what did I do wrong? I just had a gun, you know? In America, but what exactly was the crime again? So I bet he feels aggrieved about that. And then, of course, you got it. The more Twitter followers you have, the more of them will be jerks, right? It will come at you. And so I don't think it gets easier, but I do wonder, with all that, are we just projecting onto him? You know what I mean? Are we just saying, ah, Ja's unhappy, you know, or are we just taking these bits and pieces and projecting something onto him that's just not true? A lot of stuff.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm projecting. I guess I would need a professional opinion if I'm projecting. I mean, but again, we also have that his numbers are down significantly.
Right.
Like, I mean, his two All-Star years, he averaged 27 and 26. He's averaging 20 points a game this year, you know?
I mean, it's the role and it's the limited minutes. It's Jaren, you know? Like,
yep.
It's all
and
of that.
Look, I mean,
it's also, by the way, he didn't have an off season. Like, I would like Ja. Let's be honest. When Ja takes a three, do you think it's going in?
Oh, no, he shoots 27%.
Right. So I would like him to be a dramatically better. And I think, you know, the whole in the dark stuff that we used to hear all the time, right? I'm in the dark, you know, practicing in the dark. I would like him to be a dramatically better shooter. And it seems to me that is something that he has to address. But he hasn't had off seasons to address it. He's freaking, you know, he couldn't play basketball. So,
yeah,
I think there's a huge excuse there for that.
Yeah, it's kind of been, you know, kind of a perfect storm of things. you know, real like I'll be honest, like Ja is the guy I like to criticize the least. I just really in my career feel like I haven't done it.
Right.
And I'm not doing this.
You're not really criticizing him now. You're just more fretting about
it. It's more just an observation, you know, like from where I sit, you know. And I just hope that, like, I hope, this is what I truly hope, because I would like to believe it is possible. I would like for him to sort of recapture that joy. And I don't mean, you know, like, I'm not saying Ja won't smile on the court now, but it's different. It's more like a, you know, spiteful kind of thing almost sometimes with him. You know, like I'm a show y'all type of thing. You know
it's
what I mean?
Funny, though. Don't in some ways, don't you kind of like you're an emotional guy. Like I was about to say, like Ja is just like we don't worry about Desmond Bane. You know, like he'll
right,
either
right,
when he's
right,
playing
right.
well when he's playing badly. No one's like. God, what you worry about is he when he's not making shots, and even then you tell yourself, well, he's going to make shots. He's Desmond Bane, right?
Right.
So when he was having his,
right.
we don't sit here and worry about his emotional state, right? And we don't sit here and worry about Jaren's emotional state. We worry about Ja's emotional state because it goes up, and we see it. It's unavoidable. You see it.
And he is the talent.
And he is the talent. I mean, and he also seem mercurial emotionally. And I would think, actually, you would relate to that. You are prone to highs and lows yourself.
I'll never quit. Like, this is a Ja Morant house, man. Like, till the day I die. Like, I will ride for Ja Morant, like, regardless. Like, I'll defend him. I'll say that kid should have had that ball thrown in his face. You know what I mean? I'll defend him.
Let me ask you this. You got to pick. Is it a Jason Williams house? Is it a Ja Morant house?
I mean, come on, man. It's definitely a Ja house. I mean, I love Jay Will. That's my guy.
Jay Will was your guy from way back when. He was the OG for you, wasn't he?
He was, but he doesn't do for Memphis what Ja can
he
do
never,
for Memphis.
He never did.
You know, I mean, Ja can do things that have never happened, you know? I mean,
are you ever worried, and maybe this is irresponsible for me to even ask, is there a part of you, it is irresponsible for me to ask, but it's just a question, I'm asking as a question.
What else would you ask it as?
Do you ever worry, I'm not making it as a statement, I'm not saying this.
Okay.
Is do you ever worry he's going to De'Aaron Fox this situation?
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean... How can you not? I mean, the only reason is because, like, you know, Ja can kind of be a powder keg, and, you know, if he feels like he's not supported, you know, I think any player in that situation would probably, you know, present it with Jimmy Butler in a great culture, right? I mean, so if it could happen in Miami, you know, it could certainly happen in Memphis. However, I do believe that he's got representation around him and people around him that can guide him and really sort of help him understand, you know, the right decision. You know, I mean, I'm being sincere when I say the fact that Mike is his agent is probably the best thing for the city of Memphis because Mike understands the importance of the Grizzlies to the city. He was that. I mean, he moved his family here and moved, you know, and this is where he kind of, you know, put his roots down. So I think the fact that, you know, Ja switched agents, you know, if that situation ever arose, I think you could definitely feel comfortable knowing that every possible avenue would be exhausted before it ever hit that point.
Where are you on the Jimmy Butler thing? If it cost you, again, the money is the big thing and you can't just wave it away, okay? But we're going to. We're going to for the purposes of this discussion, right? We're going to wave it away. And so... You can, for in exchange for Kennard, Brandon Clark, Marcus Smart, John Conchar, and a first, have him for the rest of the year. Again, it's probably impractical because the money is the money, and you have to figure that out. But would you for
right.
that?
I mean, I would, but it would be conditional. I mean, I hate to like
on
give you caveats, but like if he's going to come here and be. You know, a jackass,
right.
and like, you know, we already got one superstar that sulks, right? We don't need two. So, you know, I think that would sort of be my
well, like
main.
Chris raised the question: how's Jimmy Butler going to feel about the whole principles of running this, how this team runs, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think he'd be fine with that. I mean, I think, you know, he's been
in a corner
for a million years.
Of course, it's not standing in a corner. It's cutting. Yes, right.
I think the bigger issue is just that he doesn't want to be here.
We're assuming he would hit. You would not just go trade him. You would not trade for him. The circumstances under which it would happen is he finally realizes he's got no choices.
Right.
If he wants to get out of Miami except Memphis. And so he says, yes, I'll come to Memphis.
I would definitely do it. And I've warmed up to that. Like, I initially I was like, yeah, the Grizz probably don't need to take that risk. Like, you know,
then you saw him against the Knicks and you changed.
I saw him against the Rockets twice. I saw him against the Knicks, you know. I mean, yeah, like at some point it's not enough. At some point, you know, you don't even have Marcus in the rotation and you don't even have Vince Williams in the rotation and you're already playing 13 guys. So, you know, you're definitely desperate for consolidation. And look, Jimmy's 35, but he's led that Heat team to, you know, some great things. Obviously, if his role is a little reduced, I think that's better for him. And yeah, I mean, that's what the Grizzlies need is a guy that can defend on the perimeter and get some big rebounds and, you know, be tough. I mean, that's what they definitely need because that's the teams they struggle with.
Couple things real quick. I want to bang through a couple things real quick. Okay. Our time is running short. What do you think about Tennessee basketball?
You know, they just it's kind of the same story every year. You know, I thought maybe this year would be different with Lanier, but, man, they just cannot put the ball in the bucket. I believe they were like 11 of 42 last night on uncontested jumpers.
They were definitely given the jumpers. You know, were given the jumpers, yeah.
And so, I mean, again, like, you know, like defensively, they're number one in the country, or they were entering last night, but they, you know, when your defense fails and at some point, you know, you're going to run into a team like Kentucky, do you have the ability to, you know, keep pace? And clearly Tennessee does not. So, I mean, listen, they're probably a Sweet 16 type of team, but I think they're probably not quite the team I believe they were when they beat Illinois in Champaign.
Okay, and then finally, how long a line is it worth it for you to stay to get gas at Costco? I know you're a guy who gets gas at Costco. How long a line will you deal with to save however many cents? Do you notice how many cents do you save at Costco?
Well, I got to put the 93 in, so it's the most expensive, right?
Okay.
And at Costco it's $3.05, and mostly everywhere else it's like $4, right?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So you're saving a buck a gallon.
Yeah. So I'll probably
almost.
if it's a 5 minute line, I'll wait.
You're good. You're prudent. You know, you believe in.
Yeah, but like I will say this though, like the older that I've gotten, well, this is what helps, right? The older that I've gotten, the more money that I have, so I have the luxury of saying, this isn't worth my time. You know, like
right.
At some point, you do reach a level where your time becomes more valuable than money that you would potentially save or earn or whatever the case may be. It obviously was not like that for me when I was 24 years old. I would wait in that line for 30 minutes if I had to. But, you know, now that, you know, I'm 33 years old, I've got a career, you know, I'm a little bit more established.
You've been known to say, the hell with this line. Right.
I mean, I'll just go pay, you know, what's it going to come out to, like, you know.
Does your car require that gas, or do you just do it because it was recommended?
No, it's German engineering, man. It's not,
it requires it.
You know.
Yeah. I don't do German engineering. I do Japanese 2006 minivan. That's my approach.
Hey, that's.
It's worked for
you
me.
Know?
It's worked
that's
for me.
Good.
It's worked for me.
Pretty good.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Jason John every single day from 11 until 2. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That's next. And Sam Hardiman after that is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.